put on your PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the conflict ends, we break it down and begin again, yeah. Sit down, twin, and break it. It's time to bring your own blanket.
Hello. Thanks for listening to our podcast, BYO Blanket. A couple of quick things before we actually get into the show. Please go follow us on all of our social media channels. We're pretty easy to find. Just like search BYO Blanket on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you should find us pretty easily. And then also, join our army of blanket ninjas. You do so at patreon.com/BYOblanket. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up. Please stop being so lazy about it and just go do it. You can sign up for a tier level as low as $1 a month, all the way up to $40 a month. You support us in doing so, so that we can keep doing this podcast, and you get really cool rewards like stickers and t-shirts and even a customized BYO blanket. So please check that out. Once again, it's patreon.com/BYOblanket. And then if you want to support us and don't have the cash flow to do so yet, you can do so by simply leaving us a review on iTunes. You can tell all your friends to listen to the show. And you can post about us on your social media channels. Thank you very much for listening. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Bring Your Own Blanket, a podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside of a blanket fort. My name is Maria.
And I am Janan. Dramatic pause. Welcome to our podcast. Our guest ninja for this episode is the amazing Lisa.
Woo!
Boric Vickers?
I mean, all three names, sure.
Lisa Boric Vickers.
Lisa Boric Vickers.
Well,
here I am.
Yep. Oh, and you're a fellow yoga teacher at Big Power Yoga. And then you also do the coolest thing ever outside of teaching yoga.
Yeah, tell us, is it?
I think so.
I think it's pretty cool. Well, I'm a professional opera singer. That's it. And
you did the intro for
us.
It was so hard to do.
I'm an opera singer, and I have a doctorate in vocal performance, and I perform and teach all over.
That's so cool.
That is really cool.
It's fun.
And what, have you been in any operas?
Yeah, oh, a lot, yeah.
Say them. I want to know.
Okay.
Say them.
Well, I was in one recently called Die Zauberflöte, which is the magic flute.
Die Zauberflöte.
Yes. And, you would probably recognize some of the arias. It's the Queen of the Night, Die Königin der Nacht, and it's the really high staccato. Yeah.
That one?
That was me.
Did you guys hear how good that just sounded?
So good. Natural talent.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but...
should have had Janan record that.
Yeah, but I've sung in French and Italian and with a lot of local companies, and I travel and sing with other companies around the country, and I've gone abroad, and
So cool.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Have you found that now you kind of know French and German?
Yeah, and when we're in school, you have to study like the diction of all of them. So I studied French for like 10 years, but I can understand most Italian and German. I just don't necessarily speak it. But we do this thing called International Phonetic Alphabet, which is like phonetic symbol spellings for all the sounds. So, like when we did our Sanskrit weekend,
I remember that. Yeah.
I was like, "This is my thing. I get it."
Yep, so. I remember that you were. Yeah, you were just like, "Oh yeah, totally up my alley."
Yeah.
Like not uncomfortable with this at all. I can do this all day.
Yeah, it was nice because it felt very familiar.
Yeah,
even though it wasn't like.
And that wasn't necessarily the experience for everybody else.
Yeah,
was really interesting.
Exactly.
So. Tell us, before we start, how was your experience of building the blanket fort?
Oh my gosh. Well, it was really fun. I grew up with all boys, so I feel like this was something that I did a lot as a kid. I was the oldest, so in order to, like, be played with, I had to do what they wanted to do. And I grew up in Michigan, so, you know, it was a lot of, like, fort building in the basement.
That's cool.
So we had a pool table that we would use, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Fancy, yeah.
Wait, a pool table?
Yeah.
For blanket forts?
Yeah, we would, like, you know, use the entire room, and the pool table would, like, hold things up. Or
oh, got it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Don't knock until you try it.
I'm not. I was
just
like,
get a pool table in here and try it.
Yeah.
Well, today we are discussing a topical topic.
Yeah.
It's like how to get a pool table in our apartment.
Yeah.
Requires creativity.
It would require creativity.
Yes.
So, yeah, we are discussing creativity today. And why did you pick this topic, Lisa?
Well, I think. I know creativity is, like, one of my core values. It's something that I strive to have in my day-to-day life, an opportunity to be creative. And I identify as an artist and a creative person.
Mm.
And as I'm out of school and out of, like, a structure of having, like, performances and, you know, things to prepare for, I'm rediscovering what it looks like to be creative without, like, as much going on. And there's, like, freedom in that, which is good and also kind of scary. So, and I was just excited to talk about, like, what does creativity look like? What doesn't it look like? Yeah.
Sweet.
It's a passion.
Love it. So what is creativity to
oh.
you?
Well, my creative outlet is definitely music and performing. And, I believe that there, in order to be creative, there's a freedom and a willingness to get messy and vulnerable
mm-hmm.
in order to tap into something else. And I know in myself that there are creative outlets that other people find enjoyable, like visual arts and writing, that don't feel creative to me. And that's something else I'm curious about is, like, why are there certain things...
Wait, that doesn't feel creative to you?
Well,
like,
or I don't feel like I'm good at them.
Oh.
Like, I'm not drawn to participate.
You're not
in,
drawn to drawing?
I'm not drawn to drawing. Yeah. And I think that comes from, like, this fear of, like, not getting it right or not
yeah.
being good at it. And that's something I really want to play with is, like, in order to be creative, like, can you not be good at it and still do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is, yes. Yeah,
sure. Look at children's drawings.
I know.
They're so bad.
They're like elephants. Elephants are creative. They draw sometimes.
They do. It's adorable.
Well, I don't know if they're doing that on their own, but
the same thing.
You know what?
Oh,
she agrees.
Yeah.
What is creativity to you?
Well, the cool thing about creativity is it's not just art stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I have an art degree. I don't know if you guys
know
that.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a bachelor's degree in art and performance.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was an exhibiting artist in Dallas for a little while after I graduated.
I knew I liked you.
And sold paintings for a living,
wow.
which meant I barely lived.
Yes. Oh, I
know. You did video art as well.
And video art, which I'm rolling my eyes as I say it. Mine was not very good, but I now teach yoga primarily. You know, I also do, like, the comedy thing now and this podcast and
yeah.
that kind of stuff. Oh, and I'm in a band, which the band falls into what you would typically call creative. But teaching yoga, I view myself as actually directly using my art degree. Because there's, like, a certain art to, like, delivering excellent teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, like, an obvious creative thing, you know, like a painting is obviously creative, but teaching yoga, I feel like I'm, like, not performing art, but, like, creating something
mm-hmm.
by doing what I'm doing. And that has opened up a lot of doors for me in utilizing creativity just outside of writing and painting and,
yeah.
and music. So I can be creative in how I clean the house, right? I could be creative in how I shave my armpits. I'm only thinking of things
yeah.
on my to-do list for
yeah.
today.
I think you're right, though.
Yeah, so for me, creativity is so broad. It literally means being in creation of what is, like, what's in front of me, like, as the creator. Like, I am the creator.
Yeah.
I am the creator.
Yeah, and I love that you just said, like, creation, because you're putting forth something that maybe hasn't existed before that's new, whether that's new to you or new to the space,
mm-hmm.
that you get to be the creator, not have a better word. The creator.
Yes.
It's a particular way of pronouncing it.
Yes.
From now on, it is creator.
Creator.
What about you, Maria?
Creativity to me is something that I, in the past, did not necessarily, just felt connected to. Because I'm more of a logical and analytical type of person. For me, it was always like I was really good at science, I'm really good at business, I'm really good at sales. And what I discovered recently is, I always thought that in order to be creative, I needed to know who I really was, like who I truly am. And that's very difficult, to attain, because I'm always changing, the world's always changing, everything around me is always changing. So to get a definite answer as to who I am in order to feel creative is like nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered recently is that that's not the way it works. I think creativity is an access point and a tool to discover the self.
Whoa. That was so poignant.
I'm nodding really hard.
Listeners.
Wow.
And I think I don't have the art degree. I guess the podcast, this is, a creative outlet. And I do like to practice calligraphy and do all these things that I've recently started cultivating because I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not only important as like a hobby or like a thing to do, it's also affects my work.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was actually reading this really interesting article in Forbes magazine. It came out, I think it was April of this year. And it said that creativity is now the new top skill, like the skill of the future. Because everything is now technology driven, everything's technology this. And the one thing that technology cannot replace that humans have, like this attribute that humans have, is creativity, imagination.
Mm.
Technology can't do that.
Wow. We should. I wonder what Joe Down has to say about that.
Mm.
Did you listen to the
yes,
episode?
I did.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
was my favorite.
That's a good segue into like why creativity is important. What do you think, Lisa?
Well, I think for me, what I'm excited about exploring and what I'm curious about is finding the in-between between something being right and wrong, particularly in my performing and in being a professional singer. I feel like it's either you're correct and that was the right way to sing this line or portray this character. And there can be a little bit more gray area. And that for me as the singer and as the performer, that gives me a little bit more freedom in when I do auditions and stuff, when I'm not cast or I am cast, that it's because of this creation or this opportunity versus something being like right or wrong.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks having things just be, oh, that's right, or oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, that was the right way to paint that, or that was the right way to do your calligraphy, or that was not the right, that there's an opportunity to have
mm-hmm.
another option.
I mean, I know as far as when I used to paint stuff, I would be really nitpicky and get all upset if I quote-unquote messed up and just be like, this paint sucks, and like paint over it in white and like start over again.
Mm.
And so I was almost being like anti-creative when I
did
that. And I felt the space of like constriction and judgment and all the things that we associate with quote-unquote below the line emotions and experiences.
Yeah.
Listeners, when I say below the line, I'm referring to like the line of choice where above it, I'm like, yay, creation, choice, creator. And below the line, it's where
yeah.
I like feel like I'm an effect. And like, yeah, it does not feel so good. It feels like really reactive and yucky. So creativity is so important to me, not only because it's, you know, cool to make things, though also it gives me a much more rich experience of my life. Mm. Like, I feel like I'm in charge, and even mistakes aren't mistakes anymore. Like, if I go with something I quote unquote messed up with, or even like look at it as an opportunity to move forward or in a different direction, or even heavier into that direction, then there's a value in, what am I trying to say? There's like value in like seeing everything as a growing point, whether it's in my teaching yoga or my, you know, when I used to paint or like doing music. So there's no constriction, but like freedom. And like, I feel like it's super important for people who aren't in the arts as well to do something creative, even if no one's going to see it. Just because there's this like quality of magic that happens when you write something down or do a little doodle or sing a little opera.
Yeah.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, because, and this isn't just applicable to like advice as far as the creativity goes. I think this is just a good way to live life, which is mistakes are not really mistakes. They're just learning opportunities. The way Sarah Martin always says in class, it's like that gives you information. That's information that you need and you can use. So for example, if I, and this kind of goes back to what you were saying, Lisa, right? Like I can just study like Picasso, right? And do everything the same exact way he did it. And it's never going to be the same. And in that, right, and by me doing that, I can look and say, okay, why, right? What's missing? What do I have that he didn't? What does he have that I don't? And from that, I can start innovating and creating my own style. So mistakes are not, I think mistakes are good.
Yeah, and you look at, I mean, you mentioned Picasso, but so many of these great artists or musicians or composers are, became known and are remembered because they went against the norm or tried something new or created a new style and thus like made way for something new. I just was thinking when you were sharing, Janan, too, like when we were recording the theme song, like I was really fucking nervous because I wanted to get it right. And like, what does right mean? Like there was no constraints to do that. But I have lived in this world of needing to be practiced and well rehearsed and be told that like, oh, that was correct in order to feel like it was valued and valid, which is, you know, good in a way and also so constraining.
You had a lot of fun when you were quote unquote messing up the song.
I had a lot of fun listening to all of it.
Well,
I don't know if we'll release the bloopers to the public, but let me just tell you, listeners. Let me just tell you, listeners. Hearing an opera lady go, "Whoa!" was the best part of my day.
It was pretty magical.
And that couldn't have happened had you not been brave and attempted something that
yeah.
you could make mistakes at.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say something. And I forgot.
Oh, well.
I forgot. Oh, but you brought up something. Like, creativity is also important for people who are not in the arts, quote unquote.
Yeah, listeners. I know there's many of you guys out there that are like, hey, I don't have a podcast. I'm not an opera singer. I'm not in a band.
Not writing a book.
What do I do?
Yeah.
That was your voice.
Small voice.
What do I do?
Oh.
Well, let me tell you what you do. Number one, tell me, guys, what do they do?
Well, I think so. There's this, I read this somewhere, which is like tips for cultivating creativity for people who are not in the arts, which is keep just a notebook on you all the time. Or it can be on your phone. I prefer a notebook. I think there's a certain quality to actually writing it and feeling the paper and seeing it written versus just typing it on a phone.
Yeah, don't use your phone. Get off your phone, kids.
Yeah, and just writing things like any quotes that you read that you like, or I don't know, anything, like doodle something or just anything that inspires you or sounds good or is interesting, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good practice to get into, like, observing things and looking at things that move you in that sense. And, to begin cultivating creativity.
You know, I used to really resist having a draw a sketchbook or a journal back in the day because I just thought I was, like, I was almost embarrassed. Have you guys ever had that feeling of, like, nah, don't even attempt this because, like, I'm afraid someone's going to see it and it'll just look lame, or, like, I'll do it and then figure out that it's kind of unimportant. And so that I resisted a long time. Sorry, guys, that noise is our cat. Anyway, I resisted for a long time doing stuff like that, and it did take some courage at first to break through from what I knew, because, like, what I knew was just, like, listening to a mean little voice in my head, that voice of, like, fear or rejection or whatever that was. And so it took courage to just put pen to paper and start. And sometimes it was like, ugh, I don't like this. Sometimes it was like, well, I actually really like this. And it was also practice. Like, creativity is not just, like, you know, Picasso wasn't just like, oh, another masterpiece. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had practiced a lot.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but his paintings didn't actually become famous until after he died.
Wait, that's Van Gogh.
Oh, that's Van Gogh.
Yeah. But maybe it's Picasso, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think it's possible.
I don't remember art history.
Resistance to the way that, you know, those innovators started. And I think that that's such an important part of, like, the creative process is practice and, like, making it a routine, like, allowing yourself to have it in your life, you know, in a regular schedule. And for me, finding time to practice, and I mean practice singing, because we also say practice yoga, but, like, practice, which is also creative,
mm-hmm.
but, like, practicing singing for me is interesting right now because I do have some gigs coming up this fall, and the audition process really happens during this fall period, so I'm getting ready for that. But it's like rehearsing without an end goal, or practicing without, like, something else in sight.
Yeah,
and that's for the sake of it, without having this payoff necessarily,
mm-hmm.
which is so hard to be, because it requires self-motivation.
Yeah, well.
And discipline.
And discipline, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of discipline, because this is coming from someone who, like, I used to work in a corporate office, at a corporate job, and it was extremely structured, right? Like, so much so that it was annoying. And then when I got this other job, and then I suddenly worked from home, it was just like, okay, now I have to bring that structure. And it was a completely different, just like a completely different experience. And when I think of someone like you, for example, that art is your career, right? When you're in school, you know, you've got literally people who get paid to listen to you. And you pay money to have these other people also listen to you. And there's structure, there's assignments, there's things you have to do. And you're constantly on this schedule. You're on a schedule, there's a calendar, there's very clear deadlines that once you leave that, if you don't set them yourself,
yeah,
no one else is going to.
I mean, part of the reason why I quote-unquote failed to make it as a visual artist was because I didn't have very much discipline and sat around and smoked pot for like 70% of my day, when 70% of my day should have gone to practicing painting if that's what I really had wanted back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of folks might think, you know, discipline and creativity don't go together.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, like, as the Tao Te Ching says, all truths are paradoxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not discipline like, whoosh, get to work.
Yeah,
it's more just like a fact. Like, it is a fact that I will write poetry for an hour today.
Yeah.
And you're allowing that versus forcing it.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is such a big thing too, because if something feels forced or not, like, authentic, I think then that's when you get more resistant. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa.
Yes.
What advice or tips could you give people like me who are not in the arts, who don't have a quote-unquote creative type job, What are some tips that you can give people to help them cultivate that?
Well, I think find something, whether it's calligraphy, like you said, or writing, or journaling, or yoga, or something that you are...
Flower arranging.
Make me a flower crown. I would love that. Something that you feel like lights you up and that feels playful, and seek out opportunities in which to bring that into your life. Mm. And, you know, for me, even as a creative, there are things that I have discovered I like my husband and I took, two-step dance lessons and like did that at our wedding. And that wasn't something I was ever drawn to until he brought it up. And it turned out that like, oh, this is fun and creative and playful. So I think find something that lights you up and give yourself grace to be messy and like not let it be, you know, a life or death situation. Like just play.
Yeah. I'm always in the experience. Can I add on something?
Yeah, please.
I'm always in the experience of like, not maybe always, and though I will think of the creative thing that I made plans to do and then be like, oh, I don't want to do it. Like, I'll be kind of like, ugh, I'd rather just lay here and watch another episode of The Office or whatever. And what I found is, like, once I simply get up and move and go to that thing and start doing it, like, by the time I'm in the middle of it, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad I decided to do this.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like creativity can be sometimes is, like, many of the times I'm super pumped to do it. I'm like, heck yeah, I can't wait to get to my desk and start writing. And then there are those times where some sort of laziness is taking place and I don't want to. And so, yeah, a tip for those non-creative types is like, it will feel really fun and sometimes not before you start. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is the way I did it, or the way I've started to do it, is by having different hobbies with the intention of them being creative. So it's something that requires no technology whatsoever, so no phone, no TV, no computer, whatever, no screen.
No
right?
Creative Netflix watching?
Unless it's a documentary about creatives.
Oh, well.
Well, I don't know. No, just bringing that stuff, and also looking at, for example, I do like to cook. And what I noticed that in the past is that it's been like, oh, shit, I gotta make dinner.
Yup.
Or like, oh, what am I gonna eat? And just looking at cooking as in like in a different light, right? Like this could be a creative outlet because I'm literally making something with my hands.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be creative. It doesn't need to be. I actually rarely ever follow a recipe. I don't like doing that. And yeah, and then just incorporating these things. And it's literally just for the sake of having a creative outlet, not so I can be the best chef in the world or be a professional calligrapher or whatever, or sell, you know, any of that. It's just for the sake of doing it.
And what I like about what you're saying, especially like about cooking or whatever, is that the activity that is creative is active, like it's in the present, versus thinking ahead about like, oh, I could be the next, you know, food, whatever, network star, or I'm going to be at the Met or whatever you're thinking.
Yeah.
But to be creative means that you're like in this present moment, unattached to like ego or outcome.
Yeah. Cause that's what why creativity, as you say, Maria, is such a unique human quality, because it can be applied to arts and not arts.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone could be a creative accountant talking to you, Eliza.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know.
Financial.
Oh, whatever.
And she can still be creative.
And she can still be super creative, yes.
Like, there's not one way to do things.
Yeah.
There's millions of ways. And so I could be a creative driver. That might be a little...
Oh. There are lots of those in Houston, so...
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you know what is really interesting, Lisa, my fellow artist creator, is when creativity is one's career, that what I'm trying to say is I feel like I'm in a very unique position, because like if creativity wouldn't have been my career, like let's say that I kept my job as the I used to manage a chiropractic office in Dallas as an office manager, and that's what I did 9 to 5. Then creativity in the artistic sense would be my outlet.
Yeah.
But right now it's my inlet and my outlet. It's all my lets.
Yeah.
All the lets.
All the lets.
Yeah. And do you have something to say about that in regards to creativity in or out of your job?
Well, I, you know, have like seven jobs, I'm air quoting right now. And every day is different. And it requires an attentiveness and a sense of like presence, I think, to be able to show up and be the artist or the teacher or whoever in each situation, because that's what I've committed myself to is my job and it's my passion and my life. But I think that there could easily be a pressure to be very, you know, big or the best in each of those things, mm-hmm. that maybe is depleting me of an opportunity or something. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does, because the way I see it, it's, you know, I'm, again, not the creative here. My job has certain expectations, and it's just like, okay, I just do them and done, right? For you, it's like you gotta constantly create. You gotta constantly innovate and be all this, like, yeah, like different and new that everybody's gonna like, and it's gotta be perfect, mm-hmm. and it's gotta be, and it's just so much pressure on that front for you.
Yeah, like comedy, I've been like, yay, I get to write jokes for the first few months, and now it's like, oh my god, I have to write jokes.
Yeah. Well, and in my yoga teaching, the 300 hour that we're in, our teacher training has really lit up this love that I have for sequencing, like the mm-hmm. the writing of a class, and has allowed me to identify that like I have a strength in that, and my language and my interest is strong, and I just started teaching a different style of yoga at Big that feels so creative that like is lighting me up in a different way. So I think also giving yourself new opportunities or finding different ways of, like, for example, I was already teaching yoga, but now I'm doing something different in that, like in my singing, what could be different? Or maybe I go to karaoke with you. I don't know. That sounds fucking terrifying.
No.
So scary. But like, you know,
just don't stop.
Like,
believing.
Don't stop.
Believing.
I mean, it would have to be like Bohemian Rhapsody or something, you know.
Or Enya.
And karaoke.
Backstreet Boys.
But like something that feels different than what you're doing right now would, I think, be different way to find an outlet.
Yeah, that's true.
And bring creativity to your inlet. Inlet? I tried to tie that back.
I liked it. I say let's go with it.
Yeah. So a cool thing to talk about insofar as creativity is originality. We kind of touched on this already a little bit when I was saying that, like, back in the day, I would be embarrassed to like write something down or draw something because like it wouldn't be very good. One thing I also struggled with was that nothing I did was new, original. It was just the same old whiny emo teenager stuff that people had been whining about since the days of
cave paintings.
Plato. Yeah. And I even took classes in art school that was just like, well, obviously we had the classes of what is art? And they were just like, it's everything. And some teachers were like, no, it's paintings. And then we had like questions of, is art dead? I remember that being a very, the question that surrounded an entire semester of one of my courses, is art dead? And the answer is yes, according to that teacher, because nothing new can be created anymore. You know, if you think about all the isms, like we had, you know, the periods of art, classic, Greek, Renaissance, I'm butchering this. And then you got into Impressionism and Fauvism, Cubism, Bluplism.
Blah-blah-ism.
After all those isms fizzled out, like we're in this state right now where there is no new thing to do in painting. It's like basically the theme of modern or contemporary art is that everyone is trying so hard to be different that it's just like freaking all over the place. And so that person was like, yeah, art's dead. There's avant-garde is no more. And us kids were like, we'll prove you wrong. And I don't know if we did or not. The reason I'm bringing that up is because that stopped me from doing a lot of creative things because I just was like, oh, why do this? Why even bother? And what I found is creativity is 0% originality. And the only thing that makes it original... Well, before I end my little rant, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about originality and creativity?
I think that, well, first of all, what I seek to, like, create when I'm singing is not, like, this is the beautiful sound of my voice, or look how I sing this phrase, but it's about communicating. And I believe that art is a mirror of what's going on culturally and, like, in the time.
Mm.
And so in all of these periods, you know, musically, music came out of the church and, like, was just singing, and then we added instruments because they were trying to mirror the voice, and then we added different instruments because we needed them in war and all these. So it's just a sign of what's going on culturally.
Wait, we needed instruments in war?
Yeah. Or like in bigger halls, or like bigger, you know, like the trombone didn't exist from the beginning of music. It happened because we had these larger halls, and or the same with certain operas.
That's so cool.
And you know, it's just, I could go on and on about the history of music, but change happened, I think, in the arts because there was a change that was happening culturally. So now, for example, in opera, I mean, you could call that, like, why am I an opera singer? It's this dead, ancient art form, but really it's a combination of all of the arts. It's art, it's theater, it's dance, it's orchestral, it's singing. And the reason that it has lasted for 300 plus years is because it's a reflection of humanity. It's a reflection of culture. It's entertainment, but it's gives voice to all things that we connect with. So while it may not be original, I think that it's valid because we still are experiencing all of that.
Mm.
Yeah. And now there are things that, like, mariachi opera or...
What?
Yes. Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. Opera about...
La Cucaracha?
Yeah. Houston Grand Opera has commissioned this opera. It's amazing. It's about, like, the border crossing. And it's with a mariachi.
Uh-huh.
But, like... And that's cool because it's paired with Verdi and Mozart. But the same with, you know, the art museum. There's the classics, but it's paired next to... I don't know. The bamboo... treehouse thing that's at the art museum right now. It's just,
wow.
It's all a reflection of the sign of what's happening culturally and in the time. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah, I liked your answer. I was,
I love your answer.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Oh, gosh.
How about you, Maria?
Maria.
So, there's a Bible verse. It's in the Old Testament. And it says, there is nothing.
Old Testament.
It says, there is nothing new under the sun. Which I think it's true, right? Because, like, for example, Picasso said, like, art is theft, right? David Bowie was quoted saying that I will never study art that I can't steal from. And, I mean, shit, even Kobe Bryant was, like, used to say, or still says, that all of the awesome moves that he is known for, he stole them from other people. And I think that's important to note because it's not that it's not original. It's not that it's stealing, quote unquote, because I don't necessarily like that word. I think it's adapting something that's already available to you and making it your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And doesn't that give you kind of a, it gives me like a little bit of relief being like, oh, I don't have to like create from brand new. Like if I'm inspired by something that's, Kobe Bryant's doing, I mean, or like Anna Netrebko or someone that I can bring to my own art, that's awesome. Because that hasn't been, that mirroring or that inspiration hasn't existed for me yet.
Yeah.
So that's creative.
I mean, the other thing to think about is, of course there's no such thing as originality. Because one, if you're getting all yoga-y with it, we are all one. And so we are all going to create from the same source, A. B, we all live on this earth together in the same society, and there's only so many subjects that we can tackle because we can't imagine what we can't imagine. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's the themes of our world are going to remain the themes of our world. So there's only so many ways of portraying them. And C, was I using A, B, or C, or was I 1, 2, 3?
I don't recall.
You choose.
C sounds good.
C sounds
C for creativity.
Okay.
C, just like you said, Maria, the fact that I am doing this thing that may have already been done with my own voice or my own hand in this time period right now means that it is original, because at 2:55 p.m. on a Tuesday in August, Jinan Araujo Siam has never done that thing before.
Yeah.
And so that is, like, creativity right there.
And that is original, because it's original to you. It's
yeah.
very personal.
And so it actually is, originality is, like, infinite. Because
mm-hmm.
you never step in the same river twice. Just like with creativity.
Yeah.
I don't
know. That's
that.
Cool.
Yeah. We're smart. We are smart.
I mean.
Thanks,
yeah,
Lisa.
We have lots of art degrees here and non-art degrees.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
then, lots of degrees.
Lots of degrees.
All the degrees.
There's like $200,000 sitting right here.
There's more.
Oh, no. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
You
know, would you guys be down? Did you just crack your neck?
Yeah. Sorry.
Ew.
I thought
your head was falling off.
It did not.
Did y'all? I wonder if the mic picked that up. We'll find out later.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll like amplify it. Okay, so would you guys be down to hear what some of our listeners say are their creative outlets?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
All right, well, let's listen.
Hi. Hi, I'm here with Kelly Gartner. She is a kids yoga teacher here at Big Power Yoga. And Kelly, tell us, what is one of your creative outlets?
Well, one of my creative outlets is teaching kids yoga.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's creative?
Yes.
I guess so.
It's very creative because I get to create class that incorporates music and games and songs, and I read books to them, and we
okay.
act out the poses, and so I feel like it's very creative for me. At the Montour Studio, I was teaching a couple of weekends ago, and there was a Christmas book that one of the kids just really, really wanted to read. And, you know, that wasn't in my, you know, class plan.
It is also nowhere near Christmas right now.
No, we are not. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll, you know, we'll read the book. And then we created yoga poses and acted out the book. Like, it was like we had a sleigh and a reindeer and a jingle bell and presents. And it was really fun. So, yeah, that's creative to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm here with Carrie Burt.
Yeah.
Carrie, what is your creative outlet?
Right now, it's only comedy. I wanted to be kind of like start painting as well, but right now it's comedy.
Right on.
Yeah.
How is comedy creative to you? Like, how, in what way does it satisfy your creativity?
Well, right now, it's basically that anything that I think of, well, I think of comedy as an art. I know some people don't. They think of it as philosophy, but I think of it as storytelling. So I have an ability to tell my truth through comedy and also, like, shape it in the way that people think it's funny, but still kind of telling a story about myself.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And then last question, if you started painting tomorrow, what would you paint?
Right now it might be basic Bob Ross stuff just to get back in the swing of it, but I do like portraits, so eventually I hope to work into portraits.
Oh, cool. You got the Bob Ross hair, so.
I do have the Bob Ross hair. That was a joke. It did not work, so I cut it, but I appreciate that you acknowledge it. Thank
it.
You.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Hey, okay, so I'm here with Russell Etherton, who was one of our blanket ninjas on like three, no, I was like, like five episodes ago, the gay pride episode. Russell, what
Pride Month!
Yes, it was
episode.
Pride Month. What is one of your creative outlets?
So for me, I like to write, and I write for a magazine called Spectrum South. It's an online publication, and then I also have written for like Outsmart and other ways to bring awareness to the queer and LGBTQ culture in
cool.
the South. And so when I can, that's what I do.
Is that your main job?
No, my main job. I work for a nonprofit.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Baker Ripley, shout out.
Do you ever write like poetry or anything like that?
I do actually. One of my bucket list items is I want to write a novel.
Wow.
I already have all of it. I just need to sit down and write it.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Well, creativity it's is like a practice. 99% discipline.
Is that true?
I just made that up.
Oh, and I believe
let's
you.
Let's say yes.
Okay, creativity is 99% discipline. I don't want to believe that anymore.
That's fine. Thanks, Russell.
Thank you, Janan.
Here with Sarah McCordick Key. That's your new name, right? Sarah McCordick?
Yes, that is my new name.
Yeah, newlywed here, one of our good friends. Sarah, what do you do as one of your creative outlets?
So the one that I can think of right now is cooking. I love to cook and I love to meal prep. I cook everything for the whole week on the weekend, and I love coming up with creative ways to make food easy and delicious and make it so that I want to eat it seven times in a row.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you do this sort of creative work in cooking, like what is your, like how do you feel when you're done? You know, like what's like, what, as you're creating, like what is your experience?
So for cooking, the actual cooking itself, I'm honestly pretty tired after I'm done because I've just cooked 21 meals. And I just feel like very relieved and complete and prepared. And I feel like that I've set myself up for the week and that I can get a lot of time back during the week. So I feel like I've given myself the opportunity to be nourished and happy and whole and prepared for anything.
And then when you actually go to eat one of them, are you like, hell yeah?
Yes, I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
Especially whenever I look in the refrigerator and everything is organized because we put it all into each of their individual Tupperware for the whole week, and I have my side and Patrick has his side, and I like put everything into my lunchbox, and then I like have my lunchbox, and I go in the morning and I pull out my lunchbox, and I'm so excited about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Back to you, Janan.
Yay.
That was so great.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to try some of those things.
I know.
So, Lisa, what is your, like, tool that you go to in reference to being creative?
Well, I think one of the things I thought about in preparation for today was in the Lightyear leadership training that we've done and that is part of our foundation at Big, is there's something called inherited legacy, which means that you have inherited, you've taken on these qualities or traits from people in your life, like your family or your parents or your teachers, that you can either choose to keep as part of your
legacy.
Yeah, your legacy, your realm, your just got like to be Stranger Things in here for a second.
Yeah.
That you can like choose to like keep or that you can free. And I was thinking about that, like where did this creative side or even like music come from? And both of my parents were musicians, and my brother is as well. And there are traits that were like part of our home life that have like become part of my tradition or my daily routine.
Like what?
Oh, like practicing, like going to lots of concerts. My very first concerts early on were like classical music and going to the theater. My dad was a lighting designer, so I was in theater as like a small wee babe. And so an appreciation for the arts, making arts part of our daily life and our home life. And there are things that I recognize that I have brought into my realm now that maybe I could free. Like
free? What do you mean by free?
Like I could choose to release or not have anymore.
Oh, so like give up the legacy.
Give up. Like if I recognize, for example, my mother is a brilliant musician and a pianist and a conductor, and she is very busy all the time. And I think that I've taken that on as like busyness means success or means that I'm liked or needed. When in reality, I think overscheduling makes me feel less created or less whole.
Yeah, like tiring.
Yeah. And so I can choose to like know that I'm still valid and worthy without running around all day. Or, for example, my teachers, especially in my terminal degree, like, this was like, you know, this was the way it's always been done. Like, this is how it should be. Well, I can choose to, like, not let that be part of my belief system anymore.
Yeah. To hear here to that.
Yeah.
I don't know how many professors I had that were just a little too set in their ways and tainted a lot of kids' minds. And it took me a while to figure out, like, wait a second, I don't have to listen to that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be that.
By the way, you're a doctor.
I am.
I forgot, and I'm so sorry. Guys, this is Dr. Lisa Borick-Vickers here in the...
The doctor.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
They should put that on the schedule at Big, right?
Yes!
Dr. Lisa Vickers.
For Devo, that would be great. Come practice with Doctor.
What about you guys? About does like the inherited legacy like land with you?
Yes,
absolutely. So I look at it from like a non-creative point of view. I think in college it's the same thing, right? Because when I studied business, it's always like, this is how you do things, and this is the strategy that's always worked. And then when you actually think about it, it's like, okay, why would I be using the same thing in business that my competition is using?
Or that has been used 10 years ago, and
exactly.
It's not 10 years ago anymore.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense, right? So bringing that creativity and saying, you know what? I choose not to do this. I choose to not be this person and bring in and maybe just, you know, pick and choose what actually works for me. And again, adapting it, making it new, innovating, and creating something new. That makes way more sense than just being set in your ways and doing the same thing the same way it's been done for, like, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The inherited legacy thing hits home for me because I grew up with very goofy, silly, funny parents, which, when you're a kid, you're just like, how embarrassing. You know? And I didn't realize until very recently that that is like a legacy I inherited, and I want it too. Because like only what, 8 months ago have I started doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When I started doing it, I was just like, wait a second, why haven't I been doing this for a long time?
Yeah.
This is like something I feel like I was born into.
Yeah.
Like my past life, I was a jester for sure. And then, they're, like, just like you, Lisa, the same legacy that I let go of is one of, like, the number of hours I work dictates the amount that I succeed. Mm. I've seen that on both sides of my parents. And not just even my parents, but, like, kind of
the society
of the lower middle class in the 90s and early 2000s. It was, you know, 40-plus hour work weeks and very little vacation equals enough money for you to get this house with this pool and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
My grandmother has always said, like, as I've gone through, you know, school and been successful in my career and in academics, she always says things like, well, that's great, but we always thought you should have been in Harvard Law School or something.
What?
Like, what... Like, it should have looked a different way, or that the arts or that creation or, like, being creative is not...
Yeah.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Or that it's not as relevant. And
yep.
So I'm giving that up right now, too.
Mm.
Good, yeah.
I mean, I changed my major 7 times before I landed on art, because I tried to do anything but art first, since it was frowned upon by many people. Not just, like, my family, but, like, everybody. They're like, art? You have an art degree? What? You know, like that it's somehow not good enough. And I feel like, as you said in the beginning of the episode, Maria, creativity is the skill of the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in art anymore. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're not creative, then we're like...
I recently heard something on NPR about, you know, they've really emphasized, I say they, but like there's an emphasis on education in STEM, you know, science and technology and...
Yeah.
All of that, and now there is a value and also a emphasis on the arts too for kids and for people,
mm-hmm.
because it's a balance. And you know, I teach voice lessons, and something that I strive to instill in my students is that it can be a lifelong part of what you're doing. Like, you don't have to be a singer who sings at the Met or whatever, as long as you are enjoying it and feel creative and in creation, it can be something you hang on to forever.
I think it's also the idea that now, especially with the way technology is and how we have been brought up and how kids nowadays are being brought up, is when I have time off, it's like, it's so easy to just turn on the TV or just, you know, be on the computer for hours and get lost in absolutely nothing. You know, whereas if we now move into a space where it's part of the culture, it's just like the thing to do to have productive procrastination, right? So whether it is...
I like that.
I know, I love it. Yeah, and practice something that... Yeah, something that's creative, something that you can do with your hands, something that's... not to make you money, not to...
Yeah,
it's just for, like, the sake of self-development.
Well, and that's something that has drawn me to my yoga practice and gets me on my mat, is that, not that it's procrastination, but it's a time to, like, turn off part of my analytical brain and be in my body and be creative and expressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I start to feel really critical on my mat that requires even more attentiveness to turning that voice off.
Yeah. You know, one thing we haven't talked about specifically, and I want to touch on before we end the episode here in a second, is... Oh, episode's over. Bye, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Lisa looked at me like, wait, what?
I want to hear it.
Yeah, no, the thing is that...
The thing.
What's the thing?
While being, like, in the actual arts as a career is, you know, cool and whatever you want to call it, it isn't for everyone. We can't just have a whole 100% population artists. Like, humanity would not move forward.
Well,
so that's
it would
why,
be true to people, to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's why creativity can exist anywhere and everywhere, not just in the actual arts. And the other thing I was going to say, if you, listener, are out there and you have this, like, little inkling feeling, or maybe even a big feeling that you've wanted to go into the arts, but you've been scared for whatever reason because it's hard to make money, I'm here to tell you that, yes, it's very hard. And it's not a bad thing either. It simply takes what we talked about at the very beginning, is structure and dedication and what was the word we used? Discipline.
Discipline.
And discipline. And to be creative about how you make money at first. Because, like, you have 7 jobs. I have, like, 5, I think. And I, like, it's as I move forward, I know intuitively when to drop one and lean heavily into another. I'm very blessed in that Marie and I are married, and your job in this past 2 years has paid way more than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, before it was different, and then we switched. So having a partner really helps out. And not, I mean, let's say, God forbid, I'd never met Maria. Would be terrible, that I would basically live in a studio apartment with far less expenses and make the things work in the way I could make them work, using, like, the way to creatively make money. So if, you're out there and you want to get into the arts, I say go for it and make sure you have some discipline and a plan.
And also make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because things that may sound counterintuitive, like, think about your finances. Like, don't go into debt, because then that takes up a lot of, like, mental and, like, just a lot of energy just having to deal with it. And it doesn't allow you to be in a space of creativity, because you're just like, shit.
Yeah. And also, I think finding people, whether they're teachers or friends or spouses or whomever, that support your interests and your creative outlet, like, is important, because while you don't need someone's validation, I think that support and that listening ear or whatever is really important, and I think can help build you up too in your pursuit of creativity.
Yeah.
It sounds like a book title.
What?
You should write it.
You should write it.
Dr. Bickers.
Yes. Dr. Bickers. Well, guys, we have reached the end of the episode.
Elfin.
I don't know how to say it in Arabic.
I was trying to think of how to say it I'm trying to think of how to say it in German.
Stop.
Nine.
No. That helps with the hand signals too.
Stop. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Yes, guys.
This is so much fun.
Well, this is just an important conversation for me to have as a creative, and I hope that your listeners and you guys have gained something. So.
Definitely.
It's a creative conversation.
Twals.
In fact, I hope people were like doodling or something while listening to this episode.
Or driving creatively.
Yes. Listen creatively.
Yeah.
So again, Blanket Ninjas, your homework is to find something creative to do as a hobby or a career, I don't know, and get to it. Get cracking. Yeah. Like, just do something creative once a day. That's it.
Get messy, be playful.
Go outside.
Make mistakes.
Get off your phone.
Get off your phone!
Get off!
All right, love you guys. Bye!
Bye!